Hello, and welcome to the Gumbo Ed Nurse Practitioner CE Podcast.
I am your host, Samantha Junius Arsimal, and this is episode 29. Today's article is worth 1.5 contact hours, and it is from The Nurse Practitioner, volume 45, number 9. The authors are Dr. Jeffrey M. Hudson, Dr. Caitlin Hoff, Katie Hayes, BS, and Dr. Sharon Fraw. The title of this article is An NP's Guide to Current Physical Activity Recommendations. I want to present this article because COVID has restricted many of our activities, and now because the vaccine is present and people are starting to take the vaccine, it is now time to think about getting active again.
Let's move. Let's go. Let's move. Let's go. Let's move. Let's go.
The article starts with, physical inactivity has been identified as a primary factor in the development of obesity and many comorbid conditions. Although the caloric expenditure of exercise bouts rarely outweighs caloric imbalances occurred as a result of unhealthy dietary choices, exercise has a positive impact on reducing obesity-related comorbidities. Decades of research have demonstrated that exercise provides a cardioprotective and metabolic benefit to the body, reducing the risk of all-cause mortality and mortality from numerous chronic diseases. Physical activity reduces the risk of chronic conditions such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes mellitus, and many forms of cancer, irrespective of weight. Nurse practitioners should consider the empirical evidence regarding the physical activity to better educate patients on implementing healthy physical activity into their lives. This article provides a synthesis of physical activity information in relation to obesity, as well as advice from the physical activity guidelines for Americans. On to health benefits of physical activity across the lifespan. In addition to its ability to reduce the risk of numerous chronic diseases, physical activity can help patients achieve many health benefits after a single exercise session, such as reduce anxiety and blood glucose, and sleep improvements. Physical activity can benefit the heart and muscles and has been shown to reduce the risk of certain cancers such as colon and breast cancer, as well as improve the survival rate in patients with these cancers. The majority of adults do not meet the recommendations outlined by the recent physical activity guidelines. In fact, only 26% of men and 19% of women are meeting those 2018 recommendations. The overall number of adolescents meeting the physical activity recommendations is 20%. Given the substantial health benefits and importance of physical activity in reducing the risk of many major chronic diseases, the public health challenge facing the nation is how to educate and motivate people to increase their physical activity levels. Understanding the role of body composition is essential when evaluating the interplay of physical activity and obesity. The undercurrent of the metabolic disturbances associated with obesity has more to do with excess amounts of body fat, particularly in the abdominal region, than it does with excessive weight. Solely focusing on losing weight or reducing a person's body mass index is a large part of the problem observed with weight cycling in response to crash diets. A strict hypocaloric diet without incorporation of exercise can significantly slow metabolism due to the loss of muscle along with fat. It is common to observe that when two people undergo a similar caloric deficit, the one who does so by restricting caloric intake alone will likely lose weight more quickly than a person who is both exercising and restricting their diet. This is because the person exercising is retaining more muscle than the one who is only dieting. Although the addition of exercise, particularly resistance training, may result in slower weight loss in the short term, it will be beneficial in the long term and help prevent weight regain by preserving valuable lean body tissue. This muscle mass retention will not only be essential to help regulate blood glucose levels, but also to maintain resting metabolic rate to a much higher degree than the person who initially lost weight quickly by simply reducing his or her caloric intake. The chronic disease prevention benefits of physical activity extends to even adults who are currently classified as obese. Blair and Ortega have researched this concept over the past two decades and consistently found that individuals with obesity who have a high cardiorespiratory fitness level have similar cardiovascular and all-cause mortality risk as individuals who are considered fit and normal weight. In fact, adults who are aerobically fit and overweight or obese have a lower mortality risk than adults who are sedentary and normal weight. Emerging research suggests that having a high cardiorespiratory fitness level might attenuate some of the negative metabolic health consequences of adolescent obesity as well, but more research is needed in a younger population.
Let's try some questions.
Question number one, which of the following is both an acute and long-term benefit of physical activity? A, improved bone health? B, reduced risk of dementia? Or C, reduced risk of anxiety? The correct answer is C, reduced risk of anxiety. Question number two. A single exercise session can A, cause insomnia, B, increase anxiety, or C, reduce blood glucose. The correct answer is C, reduce blood glucose. Question number three. One systemic review found that physical activity can reduce risk of and improve the survival rate in patients who have A, leukemia, B, breast cancer, or C, thyroid cancer. The correct answer is B, breast cancer. Question number four. Literature findings on adherence to physical activity guidelines revealed that physical activity recommendations were A, not being met by the majority of adults, B, met at higher rates for women than men, or C, met by at least half of adults. The correct answer is A, not being met by the majority of adults. Now on to health benefits and physical activity recommendations for children and adolescents. Developing positive lifestyle choices among children and adolescents can be particularly important for long-term healthy weight status. Talema and colleagues found that across six age cohorts, physical activity in youth was related to physical activity habits in adulthood. The recommended 60 minutes of physical activity per day is important. However, an emphasis on developing long-term physical activity habits and not just sports skills is essential. This focus will lead to greater inclusion and more success in promoting physical activity as children age. Another important reason to keep children physically active is the theory that as their bodies grow and develop, they also establish their homeostatic set point for weight and adipocyte number. Regular physical activity therefore helps establish healthier homeostatic ranges for key metabolic markers, such as glucose and lipids, that result in lower cardiometabolic disease risk. According to the up-to-date physical activity guidelines, activities for younger children ages 3 to 5 years should include a variety of activities that the child finds enjoyable, such as riding a bike, playground play, and outdoor games. Activities for young children should also emphasize development of neuromuscular control and balance. The guidelines are more specific for children and adolescents ages 6 to 17 years, where it is recommended that they participate in at least 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity each day. they should explicitly incorporate vigorous intensity aerobic activity 3 days per week, in addition to 3 days each of muscle and bone strengthening exercises. The same exercises may not be appropriate for both 6-year-olds and a 17-year-old. Therefore, exercise should vary by age. Let's go to healthy benefits and physical activity recommendations for adults. A primary recommendation for adults is simply that they move more and sit less throughout the day. In fact, simply taking exercise snacks during the day can yield some direct health benefits, such as improved lipid and glucose levels. For more substantial and sustained health benefits, it is recommended that adults participate in at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic physical activity each week. Adults should also engage in muscle strengthening activities at least 2 days per week. For adults who are currently inactive and to whom these targets seem unattainable, even modest increases in physical activity can significantly reduce a person's risk of all-cause mortality, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and some types of cancer. The Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans recommends that inactive individuals progressively reduce sedentary time and make modest increases in their physical activity until they develop a sustainable pattern toward the recommendations. Additionally, the timing of physical activity may be important. Timing light exercise after meals can result in improved metabolic control and can immediately increase insulin sensitivity and glucose processing from that meal. DiPietro and colleagues found that physical activity following a high carbohydrate meal was particularly important for those at risk for insulin resistance. Their research demonstrated that even a 15-minute walk after a meal improved glycemic control for the next 24-hour period. This logic also applies to improving metabolic health for patients with established insulin resistance, as exercise uses an insulin-independent cell signaling pathway to reduce a person's blood glucose level. Because it works without the need for insulin, activation of the insulin-independent cell signal pathway can be beneficial to patients who are either insulin-resistant or insulin-deficient. Similarly, resistance training provides substantial metabolic health benefits. One small study demonstrated that a bout of resistance training 15 hours prior to ingestion of a high-fat meal can reduce postprandial lipid levels. Given how difficult it can be to limit high-fat meals in a modern fast food climate, this finding is practically important for the cardiometabolic health of patients. As mentioned before, resistance training is also essential for healthy muscle tissue and maintenance of resting metabolic rate. Simply increasing patients' physical activity beyond a sedentary state can substantially reduce their chronic disease risk factors. Fitness trackers are a popular, commercially available tool that are commonly used to achieve this aim. A systematic review of Krauss and colleagues highlights the association of increases in step counts with improved health outcomes. A more simplified way to prescribe physical activity recommendations for the American population as a whole would be to provide a target daily step count. Although 10,000 steps a day is a physical activity target that is accepted, it has not been empirically tested as an appropriate goal for all Americans. In fact, 10,000 steps could be contraindicated for patients with certain orthopedic conditions. Moreover, it is challenging to integrate a step count goal with the physical activity guidelines, as the cardiorespiratory intensity of those steps could vary considerably. For instance, if a person gets 4,000 steps in their typical workday and then achieves the recommended 25 minutes of vigorous aerobic exercise, then they may have only accumulated 6,000 total steps, even though the daily recommendations for positive cardiovascular health were actually met. Although 10,000 steps may not be a magic number for everyone, a step goal may be beneficial for instilling a physical activity routine into daily life. A systemic review from Kiyu and colleagues highlights that adults with type 2 diabetes who have a step goal do accumulate more physical activity throughout a day than those who wear fitness trackers but have no specific target step count.
time for more questions.
Question number 5. A hypocaloric diet without exercise is likely to slow metabolism significantly because besides losing fat, individuals also lose A. skin, B. bone, or C. muscle. The correct answer is C. muscle. Question number 6. A comparison between adults who are sedentary and of normal weight with adults who are aerobically fit and overweight or obese showed that mortality risk was A. lower for the aerobically fit and overweight or obese adult, B. higher for the aerobically fit and overweight or obese adults, or C. equivalent for both groups. The correct answer is A. lower for the aerobically fit and overweight or obese adults. Question number 7. Regular physical activity in children helps to establish healthier homeostatic ranges for A. hormone levels, B. hematologic parameters, or C. key metabolic markers. The correct answer is C, key metabolic markers. Question number 8. A clinician explains recommended physical activity guidelines to the parent of a 4-year-old male child and suggests that the child engage in activities such as A, riding a bike, B, assembling puzzles, or C, lifting small weights indoors. The correct answer is A, riding a bike. Question number 9. A 9-year-old female child is having her annual well visit. The clinician discusses age-appropriate recommendations for physical activity, such as A, performing low-intensity aerobic activity at least once weekly, B, incorporating some vigorous intensity aerobic activity 3 days per week, or C, engaging in 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity each day. The correct answer is B, incorporating some vigorous intensity aerobic activity 3 days per week. Next, health benefits and physical activity recommendations for older adults. Although the physical activity guidelines recommend the same volume of exercise for older adults as for young and middle-aged adults, at least 150 minutes per week and at least 2 days per week of muscle strength training activities, exercise programming for the older population should focus on exercise that will help them maintain their independence and ability to perform activities of daily living. Specific to older adults, the guideline recommends incorporation of multi-component physical activity, including more than one type of activity, such as aerobic, muscle strengthening, and balance training. The inclusion of balance training is particularly important. Older adults are also encouraged to participate in flexibility activities. Exercise mobilities and intensities may need to be modified for physical limitations and medical conditions. Specifically, individuals with certain cardiovascular conditions should not exceed exercise intensity levels that are prescribed by their healthcare professional. Similarly, those with orthopedic conditions, such as arthritis or knee or back pain, should take precautions when selecting aerobic, flexibility, and muscle strengthening exercises. Swimming and water-based physical activity can be an efficacious mode of physical activity for patients suffering from joint pain or those who have difficulty regulating their body temperature. In addition to the positive benefits of cardiovascular and metabolic health, it is especially important to incorporate strength training exercises for older adults to delay the progression of sarcopenia and age-related bone loss. Appropriately prescribed strength training programs are safe and essential for maintaining a healthy and active lifestyle as a person ages. Countering muscle disuse with resistance training in this population will help maintain muscle and bone mass, reduce frailty, improve balance and mobility, reduce fall risk, and ultimately extend and improve quality of life.
Let's try some questions.
Question number 10. A 45-year-old male states that he wants to improve his health benefits from exercise. The clinician recommends moderate intensity aerobic activity for a week for a minimum of A, 25 minutes, B, 75 minutes, or C, 150 minutes. The correct answer is B, 75 minutes. Question number 11. A 35-year-old female asks about strength training. The clinician explains that she should participate in muscle strengthening activities A, at least 2 days per week, B, no more than 3 days per week, or C, a minimum of 4 days per week. The correct answer is A, at least 2 days per week. Question number 12. DePeltro et al. Found that a 15-minute walk following a high-carbohydrate meal improved glycemic control for the next A, 6 hours, B, 15 hours, or C, 24 hours. The correct answer is C, 24 hours. Question number 13. Wilburn et al. Demonstrated that participating in resistance training 15 hours before eating a high-fat meal can reduce postprandial levels of A, lipids, B, sodium, or C, glucose. The correct answer is A, lipids. Question number 14. Kiyu et al. Found that adults with type 2 diabetes who set a specific step goal had A, more physical activity throughout each day, B, less physical activity per day due to stopping at the step goal, or C, about the same amount of physical activity throughout the day as those who did not have a specific step goal. The correct answer is A, more physical activity throughout each day. Next, limiting prolonged sedentary behaviors across the lifespan. Prolonged sedentary activities, for example, sitting, contribute to the risk of obesity, comorbid conditions, and significantly increases mortality risk. This is problematic because many leisure activities, for example, watching TV, reading, and playing video games in modern workplace environments are relatively sedentary. Matthews and colleagues found that more extended periods of sedentary behavior were associated with increased risk of all-cause mortality of cardiovascular disease mortality in older adults. This may be a result of metabolic inflexibility, increased abdominal and visceral adiposity, arterial stiffness, and endothelial dysfunction that can be fostered by these sedentary behaviors. Eklund and colleagues conducted a meta-analysis that included over 1 million men and women and found a two-dimensional continuum in the relationship between sitting time and moderate to vigorous physical activity and risk of all-cause mortality. They observed that the groups with the highest mortality risk were those with the longest sitting time and the least amount of physical activity. The opposite is true in that the lowest mortality risk is found in the group with the highest amount of physical activity, which is 60 to 75 minutes per day of moderate intensity physical activity or 30 to 40 minutes per day of vigorous intensity physical activity and the least amount of sitting time. Based on this continuum, as sitting time is reduced and physical activity time increases, all-cause mortality is reduced as well. As highlighted in the physical activity guidelines, simply reducing sitting time decreases a person's mortality risk, but patients will still be at elevated risk if they do not perform any moderate to vigorous physical activity. Moreover, Eklund and colleagues found that a high level of physical activity could decrease or eliminate the mortality risk associated with increased sitting time. The article moves on to limiting sedentary behaviors in children and adolescents. Sedentary time in children and adolescents is often congruent with the screen time or time spent in school. In order to effectively interrupt sedentary behaviors in childhood, limits must be set for screen use, and the school environment must be more conducive to physical activity. Using a timer while children are using electronic devices may be a useful way to limit sedentary behavior. During school, teachers can be encouraged to schedule activity breaks each hour to get students moving around, which can actively improve cognition and students' ability to concentrate. In Mississippi school children, it has been shown that students with higher levels of physical fitness had fewer absences and higher math and language arts standardized test scores. Additionally, a small study by Engel and colleagues demonstrated that inserting a 6-minute high-intensity circuit training session during school on 4 days per week was enough to improve markers of functional strength. Now on to limiting sedentary behaviors in adults. Like weekly screen time notifications from cell phones, fitness trackers can be a very effective way to let adults know how long they spent in a sedentary position. Patients can also use calendar reminders on their computers or alarms on their smartwatches to remind them to stand and stretch or take a walk. An additional advantage of fitness trackers is that some can be set to achieve an hourly step count, for example, 250 steps per hour. Another option for reducing prolonged sitting for adults in mostly sedentary jobs is to transition to a standing desk or even a treadmill elliptical workstation. Although standing is technically still a sedentary activity, it is not associated with as low of a metabolic demand as sitting, and as a result, it does not increase all-cause mortality risk to as great of a degree. A review published in the Cochrane Database Systematic Review found that using a sit-stand desk can decrease sitting time by an average of 100 minutes per workday. If someone chooses to use a standing desk at work, they should ideally make a slow transition from this change. Abrupt changes to a standing desk from those accustomed to prolonged sitting could result in orthopedic issues and increased fatigue. Ideally, sit-stand workstations are an excellent compromise, allowing employees to stand the majority of the day and then adjust their desk to a seated position when they need a break. Standing desk users should have appropriate footwear and cushioning when they stand, and the height of the desk should be adjusted to keep their shoulders, wrists, and neck in comfortable ergonomic alignment. The Cochrane Review highlights some workplace strategies to reduce sitting time along with systemic and workplace culture changes that can be incorporated by corporations to improve worker health. It is also found that providing educational information on the dangers of sitting and/or counseling can be an effective intervention to reduce sitting time at work.
Let's try some questions.
Question number 15. A clinician advises an 83-year-old male that besides the recommended volume of exercise for older adults, exercise programming should also focus on A. avoiding depression, B. maintaining independence, or C. increasing social interaction. The correct answer is B. maintaining physical independence. Question number 16. For a patient with joint pain, the clinician should recommend performing physical activities such as A. rowing, B. running, or C. swimming. The correct answer is C. swimming. Question number 17. Matthews et al. Found that extended periods of sitting increases the risk of all-cause and cardiovascular disease mortality in older adults, and this is thought to be the result of A. arterioflasticity, B. overall adiposity, or C, metabolic inflexibility? The correct answer is C, metabolic inflexibility. And finally, limiting sedentary behaviors in older adults. An effective strategy for reducing sedentary behavior in this age group is to create a culture of activity. Developing habits of physical activity and planning non-sedentary activities are essential. Although sedentary physically active hobbies such as gardening are beneficial, scheduling outings and walking activities with friends can increase accountability to stay active. As with all age groups, the allure of sedentary leisure time can be quite strong, so it is helpful to set alarms or reminders each hour to pause the TV or put down the book and then take a walk or do some chores around the house in order to break up the sedentary time. Now, for the conclusion, we will move on to implications for practice. Physical activity and chronic disease prevention and management is vital across all age populations. Nurse practitioners are in a unique position to provide physical activity recommendations to individuals and families and can further be incorporated into their day-to-day routines as a means of improving physical and mental health. It is important that nurse practitioners take the time to explain to patients the short and long-term benefits of physical activity for health, as well as provide practical guidelines for achieving the necessary amounts of physical activity per week. Adherence to a program is always a challenge with any lifestyle intervention, but emphasizing the vital importance of physical activity and providing specific, practical, and manageable suggestions can significantly help patients make necessary lifestyle changes. Nurse practitioners may benefit from consulting and receiving training from organizations such as the American College of Sports Medicine to receive the most up-to-date information regarding physical activity guidelines. Additionally, nurse practitioners could receive training in providing recommendations for both traditional and non-traditional forms of physical activity so that they can best meet the varied needs of their patients. For example, not all patients will have access to a gym or gym equipment, so being able to provide free online resources or pamphlets that demonstrate bodyweight activities could be beneficial. If providing physical activity recommendations to patients seem daunting, then simply referring a patient to a trusted personal trainer can provide them appropriate guidance, supervision, and accountability. Nurse practitioners also need to make their patients aware of the dangers of sedentary time. One of the longest contributors to sedentary time currently is screen time. While it is naive to expect children and adolescents to not sit during class time or adults to quit their desk jobs, if patients are not getting enough movement, nurse practitioners can provide alternatives to these behaviors that children, adolescents, and adults can engage in outside of school and working hours that might counteract the negative effects of sitting throughout the day. For example, enlighten families about screen time recommendations and encourage unstructured play or sports after school or a walk after dinner time, as opposed to sitting and watching TV. For adults, the recommendation could be to find digital workout classes that can be completed conveniently from home in the evening hours. YouTube has many free workout resources. Often, individuals are reluctant to change their behaviors when they feel as though they do not have alternatives to their current behaviors.
On to the last set of questions.
Question number 18. Eklund et al. Observed that men and women with the highest mortality risk had the longest sitting time and A, minimal levels of physical activity, B, moderate levels of physical activity, or C, vigorous high levels of physical activity. The correct answer is A, minimal levels of physical activity. Question number 19. A study of Mississippi school children found that those who engaged in higher levels of physical fitness had higher standardized test scores in language arts and A, math, B, science, or C, social studies. The correct answer is A, math. And the final question, a Cochrane review found that using a sit-stand desk decreases standing time per workday by an average of A, 60 minutes, B, 75 minutes, or C, 100 minutes. The correct answer is C, 100 minutes. The following valuable resources can provide practical approaches for healthcare professionals to provide a patient to increase physical activity and reduce sedentary behaviors. Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans and American College of Sports Medicine. There will be a link at gumboeducation.com/exercise for this information. Increasing physical activity time and decreasing sedentary behaviors is essential for obesity prevention and chronic disease management. Although the physical activity guidelines provide evidence-based recommendations for adequate levels of physical activity, the depth of this information may be too much for some patients in a brief office visit. In those instances, the nurse practitioner could provide patients with the knowledge of the health benefits of physical activity and the simple advice to move more and sit less in order to motivate patients to adopt a more physical active lifestyle. The acute and long-term benefits of improving these behaviors are many, and nurse practitioners should encourage patients to make lifestyle changes that promote activity and healthier lives. Okay, that's it for this Gumbo Lanyap. Until next time!